Welcome back to the Global Tehillim and Chizuk Daily Call. On behalf of the EOU, this is Naftali Herman. The Daily Call serves as a pause in our day, a few moments to step back, to gather as one Klal Yisrael, and to daven together on behalf of the many needs of our people. Thank you so much for making this call a part of your day on Yom Shlishi, the 10th day of Teves, Asar B'Teves, wishing all those who are fasting easy and meaningful fast. Already in Eretz Yisrael, Yom Revi'i, the 11th day of Teves, where the fast is already over. We continue to daven for all of our brothers and sisters in Israel, that the body of the one remaining hostage, Ran Gvili, still being unjustly held in Gaza, be returned for a proper burial without delay. Yesterday during their meeting, President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu both brought it up, and that efforts are being made, and we certainly hope and daven that his body is brought back today. Amongst all Chalei Yisrael, please keep in mind Rafael Yitzchak Aaron, Ben Malka Chana, and all of those whose names are listed in the daily email. They all need, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, have a Refuah Shalema. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ariel Rakovsky of Congregation Shari Tefillah in Dallas, Texas, to share words of Divrei Chizuk. Following Rabbi Rakovsky's remarks, we will recite together Tehillim, beginning with Perek Chaf, moving on to Kuf Chaf Aleph, and concluding with Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 121, and 130. After Tehillim, we will recite Achenu in both Hebrew as well as in English, the Mishaberach for our incredible and dear and special and brave Chayalim. And finally, Rabbi Rakovsky will conclude with the Mishaberach L'cholim, pausing for about 30 seconds so that each of us can insert the names of all those we are davening for. To sign up for the daily reminder email, please visit ou.org/Tehillim call. Again, that link, ou.org/Tehillim call. Echavod, with great honor, Rabbi Rakovsky.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. About 9 years ago, it was a summer Sunday morning, and I came home after Shacharis as my wife was leaving for a day on call at the hospital. It was Shavasar B'Tamuz, and Jessica gave my oldest son, Shaya, the following warning. Shaya, today is a fast day. That means that Abba can't eat anything, so he's going to be very hungry and in a really bad mood. So I need you to make everything really easy for him today, okay? And Shaya looked like he understood, and he replied sweetly, oh, okay, Ima, when will it be a slow day? Shaya, thank God, is over Bar Mitzvah, and now he is fasting, and he is very hungry and in a really bad mood. Today we are observing Asar B'Teves, and even though it tends to get short shrift on the Jewish calendar, it is still a significant day. It doesn't usher in or conclude a period of mourning like Shavasar B'Tamuz or Tisha B'Av. It's not the day before a holiday like Tanis Esther or after one like Tzom Gedalia or itself a holiday like Yom Kippur. And in some places, it's extraordinarily short. If you live in Sweden, for example, the fast ended at about 4 o'clock p.m., Northern England as well. Our brothers and sisters in Sydney, about whom we are thinking so much, they ended the fast at 8:41 p.m., as it does in the Southern Hemisphere. Not for nothing, though, did the Rabbanut declare, Asar B'Teves is a Yom Kaddish Klali, the day where people who don't know the yard site of their relatives observe it on this day. It's such a serious day that the Abu Dharam declares that if it ever did fall on Shabbos, if Asar B'Teves ever did fall on Shabbos, it would be observed on that day, which of course is an impossibility considering that the Jewish calendar is structured in a way to render this impossible. What is so serious about Asar B'Teves? I want to talk to you for a moment about the account in the book of Yechezkel. There's no real detailed explanation of what happened on Aseret Teves, other than saying that the king of Babel placed Yerushalayim under siege. There is, though, a three-word phrase that is used in the book of Yechezkel that is used twice. It's not a phrase used regularly in Tanakh. The phrase is Esem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day. It's not a phrase that is used regularly in Tanakh. It's used when Noach and his family emerged from the Teva. It's used when Yitzchak had his bris. Used when the Jewish people finally leave Egypt. And it is used to describe the obligation to fast on Yom Kippur. And when the Torah talks about the mitzvah of offering the Korban Pesach. In connection with the permission to consume wheat that took root in the previous year. What do all of these have in common? Not much, other than to indicate a date of great significance. To be more precise, it connotes a date of demarcation, after which things are not the same. Noach and his family emerge, and they begin their life after destruction. Yitzchak now is a full-fledged servant of God after his bris. The Jewish people begin their emancipated lives. A Jewish person begins the year anew with a clean slate, and Pesach allows us, that date is the demarcation that allows us to enjoy the harvest of the previous year. Describing Asara B'Teves, the Navi Yechezkel is calling and telling us that this date is a date of demarcation as well. In the book of Malachim Bet, the siege of Yerushalayim, that was that began on this date, that was not an isolated event. It wasn't just a gesture. In laying siege to the city, Nebuchadnezzar's army placed an embargo on it, with no goods entering or leaving the city. What started as an inconvenience rapidly turned into a famine, a 2.5-year stranglehold. Starved and vulnerable, the residents of Yerushalayim were too weak to defend themselves, thus creating prime conditions for the invasion that occurred months later on the 17th of Tammuz and the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. 3 weeks after that, Jews were brutally slaughtered. Beit HaMikdash was laid waste, its vessels plundered, and Jews who revered it were sent into exile. When the dust settled, a glimmer of hope emerged when Nebuchadnezzar appointed a general named Gedaliah ben Achikam to lead the small community of Jews who remained in the land of Israel. Gedaliah attempted to reassure them that they were safe, that they would be treated with respect and dignity by their rulers going forward, but they didn't believe him, and they murdered him. This was the event that confirmed that galus, that exile, was an inescapable reality, that there was no future for Jewish settlement in the land of Israel, and wouldn't be, as it proved to be for another 7 decades. It is difficult to mourn the destruction of a Beit HaMikdash we never saw, whose grandeur we never experienced, but imagine how proud, how successful the Jews of the day must have felt. They had a Beit HaMikdash. And while Nevi'im had told them repeatedly to cease their idolatrous ways, they never believed that the warnings of doom and destruction would actually come to pass. But when they heard the horses neighing at the gates, the unsheathing of swords, generals barking instructions outside the gates, and slaves hammering scaffolding into place to trap them within the walls, they realized that life was about to change irrevocably. The illusion of invincibility, comfort, and complacency that they enjoyed for so long had finally drawn to a tragic close. We all have Etzem Hayom Hazeh moments in our personal lives and our national lives, after which life will never be the same. The tragedy of the human condition is that we often cannot perceive them as they are happening. Sometimes these inflection points are subtle, only realized in retrospect, or we rationalize to ourselves that everything will go back to normal, or we convince ourselves that it is. If we knew when things were happening, that they were these moments, we could seize upon them as opportunities for growth and improvement and make the necessary corrections and changes our lives might desperately need. Asara B'Teves is a serious day because it is a day where nightmare turns into reality. We fast in the hope and prayer that we will not be visited with the same fate. The Rambam writes that the purpose of fast days is to awaken us to repentance. A look around the world today shows that Asara B'Teves is more relevant than ever. Maybe we are living through an Esem Hayom Hazeh moment with threats from the outside, with Jewish blood being hunted in the streets, with an intifada being globalized, we run the risk of making similar mistakes and not realizing, perhaps until it is too late, that there are changes that need to be made. But at the same time, there is another dimension based on the comments of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who pointed out that the siege of Yerushalayim could have accomplished a positive outcome by awakening its inhabitants to repentance and forcing them to unify. After all, everyone was in the same boat. They awaited the same fate regardless of religious and socioeconomic status. And while this is a desirable state, it is worth noting what happened next. Rather than banding together to fight their oppressors, rather than trusting one another, rather than awakening spiritually to reverse the potential destruction, our response then, as it has always been, was to turn against one another, descending into recriminations, accusations, unhelpful and unwelcome suggestions. The challenge of Asara Meteves as well is to use crises to our advantage, to strengthen ourselves as a people, and not to further weaken ourselves in the areas where it counts the most. For those for whom Asara Meteves is over, I hope this was a meaningful fast for you, one that spurred introspection and thought. For those for whom Asara Meteves still has a ways to go, I wish you the same. May we have no more fast days, only slow ones. Continue with Perek Chaf of Tikkunim. Namnatseach mizmor David ya'ancha adinoi b'yom tzara yisagev ha'shem Elohei Yaakov. Shtach etzelcha mikodesh v'tzion tzadeka. Kol kol minchasecha v'lodas asa yidash nesela yitim lecha kirlovecha v'kol atzostai mame. Yaman anab yishua secha v'shem Elohim yitgol yimale adinoi kol mishal esbecha. And finally, Perek Kuflamed, יד ברוך הנעים לתחתיהם ויעטרם בחסר ישוע ואתם זוכים לקיים בהם הכסוב כי אדוני אלוהיכם הלך עמכם וילחם לכם עם אויביכם וישיע אתכם ונאמר אמן. Conclude with them ישבר עשה חולם. שבר רב עשינו לאברהם יצחק ויעקב משה ואהרון דוד ושלמה הוא יברך את החולים. הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא לכם עליהם ואכל עמם ואפרסום ואכל זיכם ואכל יסם וישלח להם מהרה רפואה שלמה מן השמיים לכל עת ולכל גדיהם בסוף שעה חולי ישראל רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף אשתו בעגלו בזמן קריב ונאמר אמן.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Rakowski. Great to have you on the program. I look forward to having you back. please God, Emir to Hashem in the near future. Love the story about your son at the beginning. For us here at the Daily Tehillim Call, please join us again for our next scheduled program tomorrow on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. As each day, we pause at this time to share a moment of tefillah, of prayer together. Don't despair. Remember that the best is yet to come. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing nechama, comfort, chizik, strength, and hope to all of Klal Yisrael around the world. Wishing everyone a safe and wonderful day, easy fast. We'll see you back tomorrow.